Good morning. I am sorry to ask you this, but if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Today's scripture comes from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 9. I will read for all of us, and I pray that your hearts and minds will be open this time as we receive His Word. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hill east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the east, west, and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is God's word. Please take your seat at this time. Please bow with me as we pray once more for prayer. For the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We're just so thankful that we're able to worship you by hearing your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would do so this time intently, that your Holy Spirit would just continue to guide us. Continue, Lord, to open our hearts to hear what you have to speak to us this morning. And as we continue to worship you, let us offer to you this time, commit this time to you, that you might change our lives, renew our minds, that you may help us as your people to live for your glory. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning once again. Good morning. Happy New Year. It is so good to be with all of you this morning to worship our good God, especially on this very first Sunday of this year, 2024. Before we dive into our message, I just want to bless you in the name of the Lord. I just pray that you will find renewed strength in His promises. And may just God continue to guide you. And I just, you know, pray that you will experience the fullness of His goodness, His faithfulness, and His peace, which surpasses all understanding. The book of Genesis, chapter 1 through 11, the story begins with the creation of the world and human dwelling in the presence of God and experiencing His blessing. Then it continues with the tragic story of disruption of that blessing due to the problem of sin. But hope persists in God's relentless pursuit of renewed relationship with His human beings. God has been persistently gracious to humanity, even though the humans continue to sin against Him. So God chooses this one person through whom He will restore the blessing to the whole world. So He chose Abram and made a covenant with him to choose, distinguish, and preserve his descendants to continue his story of redemption. This is called Abrahamic covenant. God's covenant with Abraham has been succeeded to the nation of Israel, and it has been expanded to the New Testament churches through the redemptive ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this covenant has reached us today and still continues to the world through all of us. So all of us, we who are in Christ, are the people who are in this covenant. And this is how we can assure the hope of eternal life and faithfully walk in our lives to fulfill this covenant. And in today's passage, this covenant begins with the command. Verse 1, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Just as God commanded to create the whole world and humanity, God commands Abram, who he places his blessing upon, to leave in order to recover a broken relationship and to give his people a new life. And he makes a covenant in verse 2. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. This is probably one of the most favorite Bible verses for many Christians, including myself, because this is the life that we want to live. Like, we want to live like someone that reflects greatness for God's glory. We want to become someone who shares his blessings to other people. But then the thing is, when we look at ourselves, it may seem like we don't have enough possessions, enough skills to help others. It may seem like we don't have strong will and persistence to commit our lives to God. It seems like we're just too busy living for ourselves, right? Maybe get into a good school, get a good job, have a good career, get married and children, and just simply try to live well. And so we may not think about becoming someone great for the glory of God. We may not think about being a blessing to other people. And the reason I'm saying this is because this was probably the same for Abraham. When God gave Abraham a great promise, he was already 75-year-old man. God promised him a great nation, but he did not have any children. Besides, he was a minority. And looking at his specs, his circumstances, there was no chance of him becoming a great nation and be a path of blessing. However, God chose Abraham to become Abraham and used him as a source of blessing for his descendants. God chose someone who seemed hopeless to be a hope to his people. Now the question is, then how did Abraham respond to God's calling? I want us to trace his steps and his journey of faith to see how he fulfilled God's such calling by looking at three important things that Abraham did upon God's calling. So first, Abraham, he met with God. Let's look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abram. The Lord had said to Abram. This tells us what the beginning of Abram's faith is. Faith is not something that falls from the sky. It's not something that we gain from other people or simply acquire by going to church on Sunday. But faith begins by listening to the word of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Listening to the word of God is like meeting God. And the greatest gift, greatest blessing is to meet God. There's no greater gift than this. And that's because our life can only change when we meet him. Just as when Saul met God and became Paul, we must meet God. Amen? So that we may be transformed to find the true meaning of life. As most of you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid. So believing in Jesus was a natural kind of thing growing up. And going to church and attending the service was a matter, of course. So when I was young, I thought going to church was to meet God, but it wasn't actually meeting God, but it was more of attending. Rather than having a give and take conversation and actually having a meeting with him, I was just at the church attending the service, not bothered to say something and pay attention to his words. So when I was listening to the sermon, it was almost as if there was a highway between my left ear and my right ear. And so as soon as I heard the message, it went in one ear and right out the other. So nothing really stayed in my head, and obviously the message didn't really get transferred to my heart. But for our faith to grow, we must have a desire to meet him. Rather than simply attending the worship service, we must have this longing to meet God and build an intimate relationship with him through his word, prayer, praise, and worship. And speaking of worship, I want to talk about worship for a moment. You know, the worship service is the most important aspect of life of faith. It is the most important and effective way to meet God and to experience his grace. Because, see, when we come to him in worship, what God wants to do for us is God wants to give us strength, especially when we're weak. God wants to comfort us when we're lonely. God wants to show us the right path when we're lost, when we're wandering. We can also hear God's voice and find the right path. We can experience all of these through the worship service. But without worship, we can never fully become what we're meant to be. And without worship, our true purpose will remain hidden. And so when we're offering our worship to God, it's an expression toward God that we're firmly grabbing onto his promise and seeking his will, his plan, and his presence in our lives. And so this is why, if you see in verse 7 and 8 in today's passage, Abraham consistently builds an altar and worships God whenever he moves to a new place, whenever he has opportunity to do so. You know, worship is far more than what we do on Sundays. Though what we do on Sunday should reflect on what the life of worship is like. So all of us who come to worship service, and especially for those of us who are taking part in leading the worship, whether in the worship team, leading songs, praise, or managing PowerPoint as an AV team, or leading in prayer, or serving as ushers or greeters, whatever your role is, you need to prepare well with your heart. Prepare your offering beforehand with prayer, prepare your responsibilities with sense of hope, tension, and anticipation, because we are all here to meet God. When I was taking a preaching course at the Bible College, I read this book called Preaching with Relevance by Keith Wilhite. And there was a quote by him that struck me and has stayed with me ever since. And that is, good preaching begins, continues, and ends on our knees. See, due to my shortcomings, I tend to forget this very easily. But this is one of the reminders that I try my best to hold on to, especially when I have preaching opportunity. But I think this is also something that all of us need to apply in our worship service as well. Good worship begins, continues, and ends on our knees. And so my prayer, my earnest prayer for this year for all of us is that every song that we sing in worship, every message that we hear, and every prayer we lift up will be alive and more active in meeting God. Meeting him, experiencing him, bring dramatic changes into our lives. Amen? And as your spiritual life of faith becomes more healthy and prosperous, your earthly, physical life will also become healthy and prosperous as well. Second thing that Abraham did to fulfill God's calling is he left the sinful life. Let's take a look at verse 1 again. It says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Leave your country, and your people, father's household. This means simply to get rid of the old sinful life. Have you ever wondered why Abram had to leave his hometown, like his people, his father's house? Why does he have to leave his hometown? Abram's hometown was Ur, which is now located in Iraq. This was his place, and this was where he grew up. And this was where he was living when God called him. It was an exceptionally advanced city, symbolizing the peak of civilization. And so to hear this place named Ur in the ancient Near East would have the same effect as hearing New York, London, Tokyo, some other major center of civilization, maybe Vancouver. It was a prosperous city with security and high standard of living. And it was a city that was difficult to leave once settled there. And Abraham, he was 75 years old at the time, and telling Abraham to leave his hometown was like someone who has lived in Vancouver, let's just say, for their entire life with 6-7-digit salary, nice big mansion, all his family living nearby, reputable, and very used to this town to leave. And so in the eyes of people, giving up this wealth and comfortable living may have seemed as a nice thing to do, but God commands him to leave his comfort zone because God had a bigger plan, a blessing for him. Though it was a comfortable and very blessed life in the eyes of Abram and others, in the eyes of God, it was not a truly blessed life. His hometown Ur was a city of idolatry. Abram's father Terah, along with the family, they worshiped different gods. Although they had everything, they did not know God. But God distinguished Abram to bless him and to use him to recover the broken relationship between God and humans. So in order for God to make a great nation through Abram, Abram had to leave the old sinful life or idolatry, wrong habits, wrong way of living. If the first step to faith is meeting with God by listening to his word, the second step is the separation. Faith requires separation. It is to separate our lives from the old sinful way of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Where those who have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer?" If we want to live a faithful life and be a blessing to other people, then we must leave our country, our people, and our father's house. In other words, not taking this line literally and get ready to pack and leave our country, our people, our father's house. No, the spiritual meaning of this is that we must leave the wrong lifestyle and the wrong mindset. Church, we cannot be changed if we continue living the same old life. We must leave from our sins such as laziness, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, and all the things that make us separate from God. There was this young man at my previous church who experienced this kind of separation. He lived a life not knowing God, not a churchgoer, smoking, drinking, gambling, facing, sexual problems. To make a long story short, a friend of his, one Sunday, he brought him to church. And it was a week before church retreat, and we told him, you know what? We're having this church retreat next week. Why don't you come? So we just casually invited him to join our church retreat without kind of accepting that he would come. But guess what? He came. He came to the retreat. And what's more surprising is that he met Jesus. Praise the Lord. He met Jesus at the retreat. Isn't that amazing? So after the retreat, during our sharing time about how we met God, he spontaneously came up to the stage, and he testified in front of many people how he met God. How God has touched him at the retreat, and how he felt God's this deep love in his heart. Then he took out a pack of cigarettes from his pocket in front of everybody, right? And he crushed them and threw them away. I thought that was like a performance or whatever. And since that moment, he made the decision to quit smoking, drinking, and left behind all unhealthy habits and an old sinful lifestyle, and strove to live a faithful life that pleases God. Of course, there are many temptations that try to draw us back to our old lifestyle. Sometimes it's just too challenging to separate ourselves from old habits and sinful life to obey God's calling because of our sinful nature. If you only read this passage, it may seem that Abram immediately obeyed God's calling, but it was actually God's second calling. He had already called him out from this place, or on the way to the land God promised him, Abraham made a stop at this land called Haran. And this land definitely tempted Abraham and his family, especially his father, because it was so suitable for farming lifestyle. So Terah, Abram's father, he thought this was good enough for them, and they just decided to stay there. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 says this: Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. I mean, this was not the place where God called him to be. So Terah, who chose to stay and live there due to his limited obedience, unfortunately, he did not get to taste and experience God's promised land, and he died in Haran. Likewise, there are so many temptations and barriers in life that prevent us to go into a deeper dimension of life of faith. But as we remember his grace and his goodness and his guidance, he helps us in navigating our path to walk faithfully. And again, yet he requires our commitment. Commitment to separate ourselves from worldly lust, greed, and sin. To really, in order for us to live according to his calling and his purpose. So I want you to ask yourself this question: what is the old sinful life that I need to leave behind? What is the old sinful life that I need to leave behind? Last but not least, Abram went to pursue a new life. Verse 1, it says, "Leave your country, your people, and father's household, and go to the land I will show you." The land mentioned in this verse is a land that God has planned for Abraham and for his descendants. But for Abraham, it was unknown land, a place that he has never been to before. If you go on a business trip or a vacation, you wouldn't go to a place where it has no wireless or internet connection. They usually have some kind of services that we can rely on so that we don't get lost. During my time serving in the Army, particularly during one of the largest intense training sessions that occurred only once every 3 years, we were simulating a war, practicing what we would do if the real thing actually happened. And so it was very massive. It was conducted on a scale of division versus division level. So if you're not familiar with the military term, like division, one division consists of about 15,000 troops and a few hundred tanks. And so it was big. And we were out in the field for about a month, sleeping in tents in the mountains, fully armed with camel cream on our faces. Can you imagine? Like, it was tough. We had no proper meal. We only had MRE. Like, I don't know if you ever heard that before, which is an acronym for meal ready to eat. It's like an instant, a military food, if I can say that. Sometimes also known as meal refused by everyone. So it tastes so bad. There was no washroom. Can you imagine? No washroom, no shower. And as a member of reconnaissance unit, our role was to infiltrate enemy territory, track down the positions of command centers and tanks, and report back to our division headquarters for firepower support. But then the challenge was, we couldn't use our phones. We're in the army, in our training session, meaning no internet, no wireless service. Because, you know why? There was an evaluation team assessing our performance. So we couldn't cheat, in other words. So I vividly remember not knowing where to go initially because we were only able to go through the mountains in the night, especially to avoid enemy detection. No one to ask, no GPS. We had no option but to follow the leader's instruction to get to the indicated destination, trusting that it's the optimal route for all of us that, you know, he's recommending. And as I was preparing for this sermon, like reflecting on this memory that I had from the army, imagining what Abram went through in his mind as he left his hometown and trying to go to the place that he doesn't even know, I realized that perhaps this uncertainty would have been there for Abram too. And of course, to a much greater extent. Abraham, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where God was leading him. And the way God led him seemed no fun, challenging. Everything seemed uncertain. To people's eyes, this seemed not understandable at all. It seems like a foolish way to follow. But the point that I want to make here is, likewise, there are times when we must obey something that we don't understand. There are times when we must do what we're not interested in or think it's not worth it. See, even though it seems uncertain and even though it seems foolish to follow God's calling, if God is calling you to the place where he wants you to be, calling you to obey and follow, calling you to make commitment to leave your comfort zone, you need to obey and trust him and follow him. See, this is faith. And this is the faith that Abram had. So with this faith, without even knowing where he was going, Abraham, he obeyed and left immediately. Verse 4 says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Not only Abram left, but Lot, Abram's nephew, left with him. Now, this is one of the things that we also really want to understand and pay attention to, because as you may know the story of Abraham, they have the same beginning, but their endings are different. Abram became the father of faith kind of figure, a great nation, while Lot's life, what happened with him, his life, took a downturn. They started their journey together, but their endings were different. Why? Why did their paths diverge? The answer is simple. Because first, Abram listened to God and followed his words. But Lot listened and followed people's words, followed from a human perspective and human standard. I think this gives us an important lesson. That if you follow God's word, even though the situation seems uncertain, he will make it certain. But if you follow people's words, relying on your own wisdom, even though it seems certain, it will become uncertain. And second, Abram worshiped God wherever he went. Like we talked about in the beginning a little bit, verse 7 and 8 says, so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Abram worshiped God wherever he went. He built an altar. But unlike Abraham, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Lot worshiped God. And this is what the difference was between Abram and Lot. Without worship, you will live a self-centered, self-righteous life. And without worship, you will not experience His grace. Without worship, you will always feel empty and hopeless. Not worshiping God means you will live by yourself, believing in yourself, trusting yourself. It is a proof that you are in control of your own life. However, pursuing a new life means is to submit our own will, our own plan, our own interest before God. It means placing our complete trust in Him and aligning our actions with His will. Of course, this new life that I'm talking about here is a new life that we find in Jesus Christ, the eternal life that He has given to us. And so therefore, we need to change our perspective and have a paradigm shift in our lives. We need to seek what is eternal, what is true and real. Those who trust themselves will fail one day, but those who put their trust in God, acknowledging Him, relying on Him, will live a blessed life. Remember Abraham, who was unknown, 75-year-old guy with no children, a guy who grew up in a family worshiping idols, became a great nation and a source of blessing when he put complete trust in Him, trust in God, and decided to pursue the new life that God has planned for him. And so, ask yourself this question. Which way of living do I want to choose? Which way of living do I want to choose? I'm going to conclude today's message. There's an American psychologist, William Markson. He conducted a survey with 3,000 people. And the most important question in the survey was this question of, what have you to live for? What have you to live for? After the survey, he was shocked by the response that he got from the people, because 94% of the people responded to that question by simply saying, living, waiting for just something to happen. In other words, 94% of the people who participated in that survey live without a clear purpose or dream in their lives. Just living day by day, no passion, no meaning, no purpose each day. See, modern people live in a machine civilization, which means just like the gears rotate back and forth, people live in a fixed time, fixed standard, fixed routines. I'm not saying that, you know, that's entirely bad or anything. Please don't get me wrong. But we often find ourselves like gears and machines, sleeping, waking up, working, eating, sleeping, and waking up again. Just living a busy life without a clear sense of purpose or sense of mission in our lives. But life without purpose is like shooting an arrow without a target. But thankfully, for us, in the midst of our mechanical lives, God has called us. God transformed our mechanical life into a personal life in relation to God. And He lets us find His will within the place where God placed us. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage all of you to remember that you are far better and worthy and simply enjoying the worldly pleasure. I want you to remember that God bought you with the blood of Jesus Christ for a greater purpose. When God called Abraham, God gave this promise from verses 2 and 3. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is a promise, not only for Abraham, but for all of us. It is a promise, a covenant God made with His people. It was given to him even when he was living an old sinful life. Even when he was old and seemed hopeless, seemingly unworthy to receive such calling. You know, if you think about it, nothing probably made sense to Abraham when he first heard this promise from God. I mean, it may have sounded crazy for him to abandon his old good life, comfortable living, to follow the new life that God called him to live. He had no idea how God would accomplish his promise through him. But according to Paul in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. He believed and grabbed onto this promise in the midst of uncertainties. Likewise, we may not seem to become a great nation and source of blessing in our own eyes, but we are the people who have received undeserved grace to be his children, his servant, and the path of blessing. This is God's covenant for all of us, to bring back sinful people like us, and also to change and teach this obedience to those undeserved people like us, to be faithful with his covenant, his glory, and his kingdom. So even though we see our own, you know, weak, sinful nature, even though things may not be hopeful, you know, even though we live with so many uncertainties, especially, you know, due to the recent pandemic that we all went through together, let us submit our lives to him. Let us find our new life in him. Listen to him, meet him, worship him. And let us place our lives to his almighty hand, so that God's covenant will be fulfilled through us. As we begin a new journey of faith in 2024, I ask all of you to grab onto this promise that God has made to Abraham and to all of us. Do not lose your faith at the sight of obstacles or the battles that we must engage in. Do not give up when God promised you, even though it seems slow in coming. And though it may be long, dry, difficult way, again, don't give up. Move forward. Give your best effort and always rely on God. And look up to the God vision to the end. Even if the circumstances are bad or things look unclear or doubtful, believe that he has reasons and it is for our good. Stand strong. Live confidently in his promise. Continue to seek and participate in God's covenant. And let the blessings flow through you so that your household, your workplace, our church, all the communities that you belong to may be blessed by you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your promise, for a covenant that you made through Abram for all of us. How you will bless us, and you'll make us great in you, Lord. We pray that you continue to help us with your hands to strengthen our faith so that we continue to seek your presence. May we turn ourselves from sinful life and pursue a new life to fulfill your promise in our lives. God, we just lift up year 2024 to you. May your will be done through us as a new journey of faith begins. Pray that you will continue to guide us and just watch all of us. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.